Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now, it's time for the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. Here are your hosts and my supreme leaders, James Baldwin, Campy, and Freya Brolsma.
Is how we all feel about our boy, Daniel Ricciardo. And why wouldn't we all feel that too? It's only minutes, hours, shortly thereafter of the race finishing, and we all have many, many feelings about China. What a weekend we've had, an action-packed weekend, two Parc Fermé conditions sets. We've had sprint qualifying, the actual sprint, the race, the everything. It's all gone on in China with no data to heaps of data. And to help me review and shout at the clouds is my friend and yours, Campy. Hello, mate.
G'day, Jim. How are you? Hello, listener. How are you? Look, very frustrated. Look, you know what? I'm having a whiskey as we record this at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night after the Grand Prix. Got to celebrate the small wins. It's been slim pickings for us Danny Ricciardo fans for a few years. And new chassis, new man.
Yes.
He's seemingly back if it wasn't for that dickhead Canadian Lancelot Stroll. So anyway, I'm celebrating the small wins that we had this weekend.
Yeah,
one step closer to the top seat. So
yeah, my man. We will talk a little bit more about it. Amazing, isn't it? It's amazing, isn't it, how you can have opinions, you can have points of view for many, many years about different things. And instead of just coming in and out, changing with the wind, changing with the tide, like those people who only support football teams if they're doing well, we do know a little bit more than your average podcast. So wherever you're listening, it is good to have your company. If you want to disagree with us, please feel free to do so. But just keep it respectful is all I'm going to say. I had to delete a few comments because a few of you are potatoes and feel like you're better than everybody
else. Spuds, Jim, spuds.
Absolute gum nuts, the lot of you. All of you are gum nuts. I'm a gum nut, so you might as well all join in the Australian vibe of it. Cabby, look, plenty to get through. We'll try and keep it as snappy as we can, though. Let's talk about the sprint format weekend because this is a whole new format for this year. Obviously not sprints, but the way that it's been run. We had one practice session Friday, then we went straight into sprint qualifying on Friday afternoon. Saturday consisted of the sprint race, then an opened Parc Fermé yet again for qualifying for the actual Grand Prix, and then, of course, a Grand Prix on Sunday. How did you think it all played out?
I liked it. I don't traditionally love it, but I think the time zone suited us very, very well this weekend. So we got to watch a lot of it. I do agree with the commentary when they say things like, I'd much prefer to watch a qualifying session on Friday afternoon than a P2. I do get that for the excitement value, but I'm a bit of a traditionalist too, and I do like that format. I do like that hour or the hour and a half that we used to get where it's talking about teams and all the issues going on in Formula One whilst there is things happening on track. It's a bit like a shortened version of winter testing where you get 12 hours of commentary on what's happening around the paddock. So, yeah, look, I did like it this weekend. I'm not sure I'll love it every other weekend, but, hey, good to see.
We go straight.
I don't like it every weekend.
We go straight to Miami, and which is another sprint format weekend again. So only one practice session in Miami. And I think that'll be the real test because genuinely, Campy, I wasn't all that excited about coming to this circuit. But the way that these cars sort of started delivering some interesting overtakes almost all over the place, not just in one specific spot that we see in many different tracks across the world, sometimes even in Australia. And I think that was good. Like, I genuinely think it showed that you could do tyre management and be a little bit boring with DRS trains, but then have some really epic, interesting battles like we saw at the very end of the sprint race. Alonso, Sainz, Leclerc, that was some of the best racing I think we've seen all year.
Well, if you go back to 2018, that's sort of the same thing that happened when Danny Ric came from P6. They pit stopped late in the race and came home on softs and got that win, which was pretty good. So we'll celebrate that here tonight as well. We didn't get to do that while doing the podcast. But, no, I think we saw a strategy played a lot into this weekend's race and the results that happened. So other than that, pretty standard China. You got a lot of moves around the outside at one. A lot of guys taking the inside line up to turn four and then obviously up the inside after the straight into the hairpin too. So produced good racing. I think this new category of cars that we've seen post the last race in 2018 or 19, whatever it was, these cars suit this track a bit better than the old style cars do. So degradation's always big, that front and rear degradation. I think the more experienced drivers got that right this weekend. I think we saw that across the board. So as for these young drivers that are coming through, I think they really struggled with the high amounts of tyre deg over race distance. So anyway, it was good. I would go back there and it's definitely going to be better than some of the other races that we see this weekend.
Yeah, genuinely fair play. I think this Grand Prix surprised a lot of people with how it's performed and certainly I think deserves a place on the calendar. It's already got one for next year, maybe for further races as well. Just touch briefly on this. We'll come back to it as we preview Miami next week, but points to 12th. Campy is something that's been floated, which I don't mind. What do you think about that as a top line thought?
Oh, again, I think if you're going to do points to 12th, you might as well do points for 20th for finishing the Grand Prix if that's the way it rolls out. So, because then you get to see those backmarker teams that actually show up and perform every week actually get something for showing up and driving and putting a car on a track that is incredibly fast. In saying that, I don't like it. I wish we should go back to the old style system of points, back to top six. And 10 points for a win, 8 for second, down through to 6, down to 2 or whatever it was. So I like that. I like that. But
did you?
I think you need to keep points as something in this sport as lucrative. You can't just walk in and get points. You've got to come into the sport, develop the car, and get yourself into the top 10 or the top 6, I bet, in order to score. So you can get some points on the board for next year and all the monetary standings and all that. I don't like just handing out points for no reason. And it'll ruin the history books too, so we don't want that.
Okay. Well, the team principals and their representatives get together virtually next week to have a conversation.
I can see
about
how that's going to go.
So we'll debrief it more.
The top team is going to go, no, keep it the same, and all the backmark teams are going to go, we want points. So there you go.
Wow, live audio from a meeting that hasn't even existed yet.
Yeah.
Incredible content.
How many olive green beanies should one person have? 5, apparently, is the answer.
Yes, you are listening to the Lakeside Drive F1 podcast. It is good to have your company wherever you all are across this beautiful, bloody sporting world of ours. Campy, there's no fly pass this weekend, but there was the national anthem. You made a comment strong, just before we started recording.
Strong communist minor vibes in this one. Ladies and gentlemen, I was going to actually read out the lyrics online, but I thought I'll just leave that to you. If you really want to know what they're singing about and the creation of their dynasty on the blood of all the soldiers or something to that effect, you can go read it. But very, very strong commie vibes coming from this anthem.
And
I'll leave it there.
Really.
I'm exercising some self-control. I did that last week by sitting out a whole podcast. So lots to say about China and this Grand Prix, but I'm just going to keep it straight.
Should we shout out our co-host Freya Brolsma, who is currently some miles into the London Marathon? She's literally run, as we record right now, it won't be released until tomorrow, but as we're recording this, she is running the London Marathon. I'm assuming someone is chasing her.
Yep.
That's the only reason why you would run a marathon is if someone or something is chasing you, Campy.
Yeah, she'll be close to finished, if not by now. She started running about 5 p.m. our time, which was about the start of the race, so she'll be just about there, maybe coming into the last half an hour or so. So extraordinary effort to for Freya to do that. It's great. She gets to travel the world, as she does too, so that's good. Oh, actually, when we were in Melbourne and we stayed together and lived together in a little apartment for 4 days, she was up every morning.
Little apartment?
Little Sorry, apartment.
It was absolutely not little.
That was good.
Let's be clear.
Yeah, I got to see Freya getting up training for that every morning. Although she was on the beers and having a lovely time, a few shandies, she enjoyed herself while in Melbourne. She was still working very hard, so good on her. Congratulations. Yes, please donate to that as well. That would be excellent.
Yeah, you can if you go hit her up on social media. That's the best way to do it. The link to her Instagram is in the show description, probably, and on the website as well, lakesidedrive.au. Let's go, Campy, to Discord comment of the week.
And now it's time for the Discord comment of the week.
I'll let you open your Discord whilst I pad a little bit. I'll talk slightly slower. Isn't it fun also, can I just say, just to record after a Grand Prix? It's still before 9 p.m. We're having a good time. I've already done one thing. I'm about to do another thing after this, and it's just nice to see a friendly face. We are many, many miles apart ourselves, Campy, but it is nice to see your face and your beanie. Thanks, and mate. You should also watch us on YouTube too. What I would say too, you may see some updated, better videos. CJ has joined our team as a video editor at the Lakeside Drive podcast, which is very exciting. Excellent. You will have known his work. If you know Blake Hinsey, who is the former mechanic from Red Bull, he was doing content creation stuff under the username Break with 3 R's. Used to edit his videos. So Blake's now gone into IMSA, I think, or WEC or something, doing more incredible stuff as an engineer rather than as a content creator. But anyway, you'll see some social videos improve also on YouTube as well as our thumbnails. So I'm very excited about that. It's just Excellent. Another step forward, Campy, in all of this. I can't believe we're still doing this podcast, but here we are. All right, my Discord comment of the week goes to Nick H., in fact, so much so that there were two of them. He couldn't settle down. He went full Ross on us. Ross only slightly banned from appearing on our list for probably another 6 months. Nick H said, on Albon's panda helmet, it used to be Logan's helmet, but Alex lost his, which was just, that is outstanding level ban to Nick. And on Carlos's spin coming into the main straight, he said, he is a smooth pirouetter. Yes, he is. It's true. Carlos Sainz, unbelievable. Campy, have you managed to find some good quality content?
Good
Excellent.
Old Tina G, one of our great contributors on the podcast. This is inside Lakeside Drive Cats and Dogs. So
yep.
Her cat, Pedro, looking very stern at her with the grace in the background. It's like, Pedro, unimpressed by MV being first again. Cat very much looking like Hitler too. So... throwback to the 90s internet when that stuff was a thing. Very good, very good.
That just, listener, will highlight where Campy's mind is most of the time. It's the 90s, 90s internet. He dials himself up occasionally to get things sorted out. All right, mate, let's go through, shall we? Team-by-team analysis, plenty to talk about. Let's start, unfortunately, with the back, which is RB because they double DNF the race. Danny Rick, okay, he qualified for sprint in 11th. He qualified for the race in 12th, and he was running exceptionally well. Yuki Tsunoda qualified for the sprint 16th, qualified for the race in 19th, and also had some pace too. This RB didn't look exceptionally strong, but it certainly looked like it was probably ahead of the Williams and the Alpine when time management wasn't playing on. Campy, let's talk about Danny Rick though, because there was so much conversation, incorrect conversation, about this ultimatum, 3 races, that he's washed, he's done. No concept that the car may have been not only damaged from a chassis point of view, but just something that he couldn't work out until he could. And it seems, mate, this weekend he was in a much, much better place.
Oh, I think he's been fairly confident all year about his ability and the car. I think after the first round, the race pace was pretty good, but he knew he was lacking it over one pace, and they figured out something out in the car in Melbourne, and then we had Japan 2 weeks ago, and the crash on the first lap wasn't great. this weekend, scheduled new chassis, so he's getting one anyway. And it just seems to have found the sweet spot with the car. I mean, he comfortably was quicker than Yuki every time he got in the car this weekend, which is a big turnaround from what we've seen thus far. Is it track specific? I don't think so. I think we're going to be in three or four races time. We're like, right, everything is normal back in Daniel Ricciardo and the way he's driving. Sometimes you can get two instruments that are exactly the same. One sounds amazing, one sounds terrible. It's exactly the same with the car. And for whatever reason, the car that he was driving wasn't so good. So, yeah, look, he was confident. I think he had a really good weekend. If he does need to improve off the start, and that's not just because he's starting on the mediums. My one bone of contention with Danny Ric over his career has been get a bit more aggressive off the start. It was different when he was in Red Bull and he was starting in the top three, you know, top three to top five all the time. It's a bit easier to be aggressive up the front. In that mid-pack, it seems to get pretty dicey pretty quickly at times. So I was just thinking there can be a bit more aggressive off that. This week, he just got pinch being on the insides, too many cars from the outside and lost three positions off the start, which didn't help him, but went long in that first stint and it really helped out. He was, I think when he came out after his first stint, he was 5 seconds behind Yuki Tsunoda. Within three laps, he'd passed him. And then he, you know, pulled back a 2.5 second lead that Lewis Hamilton had over him once he passed Yuki and pulled that down in a lap and a half to be within 2.5 tenths. Then a yellow flag came out, virtual safety car, and, you know, his race virtually ruined from there. So I think he got the strategy right. I think if Lance didn't go up his backside this weekend, I think he would have come home really strong like Alonso did. He would have gone for another 5 to 10 laps on those tyres and then come home strong on a hard with, you know, 15, 16 laps to go. And his pace would have shown and he would have been in the points, possibly even got Piastri. So very exciting step forward for this weekend for him. Unfortunately, this was pretty much out of his control and he couldn't do anything about it. So we need to just celebrate those wins. We were at it, but I think in three or four races time when it's consistent and we're all yahooing. But every time he got in the car this weekend, he was quicker than his teammate, which is exactly where we thought he'd be at the start of this year. So,
well said, mate. It's just so nice to have positive vibes about some drivers. Let's have some negative vibes, shall we, about one of the other drivers, which is Lance Stroll. I just want to pick out a couple of things. Danny Ric spoke to a couple of different media outlets, of course, as you do when you go to the media pen. There's a whole bunch of them. One of them was Viaplay, I'm pretty sure, which is the bit that I've seen. But anyway, he said, Daniel, in the media pen, that he'd started to settle down a little bit after everything, of course, all the adrenaline, the frustration, the disappointment. He'd gone and spoken with Laurent. He sort of started to get over a little bit. All right, goes out into the media pen. Then is told by someone that Stroll said, this idiot just slammed on the brake, which is what the official F1 broadcast broadcasted about Stroll saying that on the radio. Anyway, Ricciardo was made aware of this, and speaking to media post-race, he then became visibly angry and said it made his blood boil. I'm cannibalizing a script that I've already written for my other podcast for later on, but it's important. DR said that he'd slowly started to calm down when entering the media pen, but then was told what Lance thinks of the incident, adding, and apparently I'm an idiot and it was my fault. So that made my blood boil because it's clear as day and it's also behind a safety car. Daniel really started to get annoyed, saying the only thing you've got to do is watch the car in front. We can't predict when the leader is going to go. We can't assume that we're going to go in turn 14. The race doesn't start until the control line. I'm doing my best not to say what I want to say, but fuck that guy and I'm still being nice.
My man, Danny Ric, showing some fight. Good on him. I think Danny Ric is very nice to Sir Lancelot Stroll because of the Australian connection with his sister and all those things. And Danny Ric was at the wedding, blah, blah, blah. About time he called that Muppet out for the little Muppet that he is. So I could use some choice of words of language. Give me a few more whiskeys and I'll get a bit more heated. But fuck you, Lance Stroll. You are a dickhead, son. I mean, this is just... I can see how it happened, see how it unfolded. But there are consistently in this sport the same drivers making the same stupid mistakes all the time. It's like they haven't shed all of their teenage angst in F3 and F2, and then they get into F1 and they continually make stupid, stupid mistakes like this. Just super frustrating for the race for Danny Ric and how it could have played out for him this weekend. But and to the commentary too. I mean, they were very nice. They didn't criticise Lance Stroll, and they made it about Daniel, and they said, oh, Daniel's really struggling. I was like, no shit. His ass was 3 foot in the air and his cone was up the backside of Piastri. I wonder why he's dropping 7 places in a lap and a half, because his car's been totally destroyed by, I mean, seriously, let's just look, Nico Rosberg, look, oh, mate, I'm not even going to go there. I just sound like I'm yelling at the clouds.
A broken record?
Yeah.
Yeah, look, we can both yell at clouds together. I would say about the television broadcast, Sky needs to sort their shit out, because it is beyond me when you can say in the one broadcast, sorry to the Australians who are having dinner, blah, 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 but then come out of the sprint race yesterday into qualifying and forbid, inverted commas, Nico Rosberg talking about what happened in the sprint in the morning, just in case the poor babies haven't got up in time at 7 o'clock in the morning to watch their little sprint race and they might want to go back and watch it later. Seriously, guys, you are an international broadcaster. Sort your shit out. It is not just about you. Be so much better than you're currently being. The studio looked a little bit better actually this weekend and there was less of a delay. So that wasn't the big thing for me. It was just the absolute ridiculousness that the only audience that matters is the British one. I don't care if they're the broadcaster, the English broadcaster. They, as bloody David Croft said, they got 23% of the international audience listens, yep, is forced to listen to Sky F1. Yep. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And amateur. It's just, it is beyond me how any of those producers allow that shit to continue. And then the F1 puts up a graphic anyway that Max Verstappen finished from fourth to first in the sprint race just after they said that. So, I mean, it's, come on, guys, lift. Yuki Tsunoda, just very briefly before we move on to Sauber, some people said the reason why he didn't have such a good weekend is because he'd never driven this track before.
Oh.
My counter to that was Oscar Piastri had never driven Japan and managed to put it in third last year.
Yep, there you go. No, Yuki, the pressure's back on this kid now. So, yeah, look, he won't be at Red Bull anytime soon. There are some rumours that he might go somewhere else. They might go to Aston Martin. Saw that on the internet this week. Thought that was laughable.
Well, that's no longer a thing.
When Honda supplies Aston Martin engines in 2026, not a thing. It's all over. It's done. Good.
Yep, done.
Right.
There is no way. Lance Stroll's never losing his seat, and Fernando Alonso's just signed a multi-year contract.
Exactly.
So Yuki Tsunoda, he's maybe later, maybe after Fernando resigns, but I just don't think that new partnership, Honda is going to have that much pull to be able to pull Tsunoda in. When they lose Alonso, they need another top-tier driver, like a leader, to come in, someone like Carlos Sainz, Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen, do you know what I mean? Like someone, yep, even Sergio Perez, who is able to grip the team together. Nico Hülkenberg would also be another good option. And Tsunoda just hasn't been that. That's not me saying I don't like Tsunoda. It's not me saying that he's not fast enough. It's just the bigger picture. And I just don't think, now that as soon as Alonso announced that contract decision last week, that did so many things to so many people in the driver market, and including Yuki Tsunoda. So short of Daniel being promoted to Red Bull and Lawson then getting access to that RB seat for next year, if Ricciardo is still fighting to be in RB for next year alongside Tsunoda and then the year after, who knows? But
who knows?
I have heard, mate, that's just not on the table anymore. Let's talk about Sauber. Valtteri Bottas, who was having a mega weekend, a fantastic turnaround of fortunes for the Finn. And then it all went to shit for him, unfortunately. He qualified, finished the sprint in 12th, qualified 10th, and then, which was, of course, Sauber's best qualifying in such a long time, and then had a DNF. Zhou Guanyu finished 9th in the sprint. Fantastic, yep, for him to do that in front of a home crowd. Sadly, outside of the points paying position, because it was a sprint, only the top 8 are paid points. Qualified 16th, though, finishing in 14th. And in true Minardi Mark Webber, Australian Grand Prix style, Zhou Guan Yu was allowed to park his car towards everyone else too, celebrating that Chinese driver. And, you know, fair enough, because a record sellout crowd in China, everyone, if they had some Red Bull or Ferrari merch, but they still had a Zhou Guan Yu banner too, Campy.
Well, this is what, the third year Guan Yu Zhou's been on the grid. So I think, you know, unlucky for Sauber and Kick, whatever it's called now, they would have been looking forward to this Chinese race every year until so they could use him for marketing, and albeit it's taken 3 years to get him there. So, look, I don't mind it. It's home race. It's obviously a big market for F1 moving forward too. I think they will be really wanting to grow the sport in that area as well. So, look, good weekend. Performed well on the sprint race weekend. Yeah, I like the rain in the qualifying for that. You know, just separates the team, the field a bit. It's less about the car, more about the driver. Although the car's still very important in that. Yeah, he performed really well. He's really a much loved character on the grid now. Not controversial at all. Very, very secure and settled in himself. Doesn't give a lot to the media that we see anyway on a week-to-week basis just because of his position on the grid. But, yeah, it was good. Good celebration for him. As for Valtteri, geez, it sucks to be that guy, isn't it? It's a bit like Danny Rick, really. Just unfortunate, unlucky. We didn't see too many pit stop issues with them this weekend. And then, you know, for the engine to blow up in the position he was in as well, just super frustrating. Qualified really well on Saturday afternoon as well. And, you know, has still got it in him to perform. He could step up into a top team and be there on the money, a couple of tenths behind the best drivers to do it at the moment. And it's a shame to see him where he is, but we'll keep supporting him and keep kicking on. We'll celebrate his small wins when they happen.
He very underrated, I think, at the moment too. And both of these drivers, of course, out of contract before the end of this year. And the buzz is Carlos Sainz, Nico Hülkenberg pairing for Audi. That's what Audi would like. They take a full control of Sauber a little earlier than it turning into Audi.
There's no way Sainz is sacrificing a top drive on the grid to go back to Sauber.
And you're assuming he's got one.
Well, how can he not have one?
Well, let's talk about signs later because there is some stuff to go through with that. Let's talk about Williams now, which is a team we can talk very quickly about. Logan Sargeant finished sprint in 18th, qualified 20th, started from the pit lane with some setup changes and then finished 17th. Alex Albon finished 17th in the sprint, then, of course, qualified 14th and finishing 12th outside the points yet again. This is it's a better weekend for Williams, Campy, because they haven't damaged any chassis.
Yes, it's good. No crashes. Well, I mean, what, Sargeant bended in qualifying on Saturday afternoon, so that's a shame for them. Yeah, look, they're just in no man's land. Seemingly had some pretty good pace in the race this afternoon, but Albon's clearly still that number one driver. But they need points, and the reality is, look, I'm just not sure when they're going to get points this year. Because they never seem to be at the top of that, you know, 6th to 10th cars on the track. They're always behind them, and they're always, you know, that 7th or 8th position behind 3 or 4 cars on the track from where they need to be. So they need some luck this year. But yeah, look, better weekend for them. Sargeant's got to be done, doesn't he? He's just
there's not a lot keeping him here. And whilst we all feel incredibly sad for Logan from the Australian point of view, as in the race point of view, the performance wise is just not there. So you would think that Lawson is at least in conversation for that seat for next year if RB is not an option for him. Alpine, Campy, had a bit of a better weekend probably than they were expecting. A whole new floor and a lighter car for Esteban Ocon. And Pierre Gasly gets to run the old stuff, which I found very interesting. Gasly ended up out-qualifying Ocon for the sprint, which I thought was funny. But Ocon finished 13th in the sprint. Gasly, finished 15th. It was still dry when they were both in. If you remember, sprint, the rain rolled in at the end of SQ2. And 15th qualified for Gasly for the race, Ocon 13th, and then Gasly finished 13th, Ocon just outside the points in 11th. But we did, of course, have some retirements of other cars and the incident with Lance Stroll. this team still in just like, okay, cool. You guys are turning up. That's good.
All right. In the spirit of celebrating some small wins,
let's
only taken Gasly 4.5 races this year to actually make a pass on track. So he accomplished that today at least. Can we just talk about how shit he has been this year? Terrible. I think sprint qualifying doesn't count. And, he's been out-qualified comfortably by Ocon. Ocon's had a good year in comparison to his teammate this year.
Oh.
Which says a bit about Gasly.
Careful.
In my opinion. So, look, I just don't rate him. I never have rated him. The last time we were in China, guess who was in a Red Bull? Guess who was the second driver? Mm-hmm. And look where he is now, 5 years down the track. Just still ridiculously dud-like. So zero sympathy, but congratulations. We're celebrating the small wins he made on track pass 5 races into the world championship. So good on you, Gasly.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure I can value add anything to that conversation. Let's go to Haas.
In the points. Can't
you never change. Never change. Nico Hülkenberg.
Yeah.
This is a guy who, there is no doubt to me that he does pull out some fantastic performances. He's the stronger of the two Haas drivers now, which is cemented in my mind with a couple of points paying positions already this year for this team. He finished 19th in the sprint. Magnussen finished 10th in the sprint, though qualified 9th and then finished 10th in the race. Magnussen qualified 17th, finishing in 16th. So clearly some big separation there. Magnussen, though, had that contact with Yuki Tsunoda, which spun him around, punctured his tire. Yep. Magnussen had some issues as well. He was very aggressive, Kevin Magnussen, trying to get some positions back. But it feels like this car is actually going in a direction that they can feel a little bit more comfortable with. And I would say this isn't where Ferrari shone like we've seen previously, where then you would expect it. So Haas maybe is doing some things themselves in a good way, Campy.
Kudos, claps to them. Kudos, claps. Excellent. Good on them. Hulk performing as we expected Hulk to perform. They've got some pace and they are frustrating me in the sense that we're wanting Danny Ric to score some points and get up there, and he just is consistently battling either K-Mag or Hülkenberg and they're holding him up. So happened in the sprint race too, although Danny did make a mistake trying to pass. I think it was Magnussen. In the final laps of that. But, they're in a good spot this team. I think we've got to give some big credit to Gunther for where he positioned that team before he stepped away. So he probably expected the on-track performance that we saw this year, but he hasn't been around to see it. So, claps to them. Just like seeing Hulk do well. I really want this guy to get a good drive somewhere in a competitive car where – his whole career, he's been in situations or in cars that have never deserved to be in the top five, let alone podiums and winning races. He's always been in that 12th to 16th on the grid and not always outperformed it. A lot of the time driven to the potential of where the car is and where it should be. But you get these two or three races a year where he puts himself in positions for good results and way better than what they should be. And unfortunately for him, he's never capitalized on the positions that he's put himself in. And I just want him to get that elusive podium, let alone a race win. And if he goes to Sauber and he's there until he's 37, 38, hence what we're seeing with Hamilton and Alonso, I think, given the material, this guy will definitely provide results for a team. It's just unfortunate that his career's been long and, without the results that he's really wanted. So,
many, many starts for Nico Hülkenberg. Yes, still after that elusive podium and win, I'm sure he'd love to get back towards that part. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back. Let's talk about Aston Martin. We've already spoken enough about Lance Stroll, so let's not bother again. Fernando Alonso, though, had mega, mega pace in sprint, ended up DNFing after contact with Carlos Sainz, and then Sainz and Leclerc, and Leclerc said Sainz pushed a line. We'll get to them in a little bit. Qualified third, fantastic result for Fernando Alonso in qualifying. Ended up finishing in seventh. Campy, you made some really great points, though, about the pace that he showed later on in that race and just what could have been also for Danny Ric, who was on a similar strategy.
Yeah. Look, I think we all expected everyone after the safety cars and the virtual safety car, I think we expected it to be a pretty basic one-stop, but he got it right. They got it right on strategy to put him on the tyres, although he lost some places. He was always going to lose them on softs and he had to pit anyway. But, yeah, just seeing him come back through the field, this Fernando Alonso, whether you like him or not, is the reason why we watch everyone F1 every weekend that we do, because this guy is always on the limit. He doesn't particularly care whether he gets fourth, fifth or sixth. He's going for those podiums and he'll put himself in a position that maybe with some good luck and maybe with wishful thinking sometimes that he puts himself on softs to go to the end of the race to, you know, get some positions. But that's what we want to see from him. If these cars in this era of F1 that we're in where we're consistently managing tyre loads and fuel loads and braking into corners and trying to get the balance right. If we had been racing in 2006, 7, 8, 9, up until 2010, where tyres weren't an issue, there was no such thing as lifting and coasting. It was 110% every single lap of the race. This is the guy that you would be the benchmark for everybody across the sport. And he still races like that, which I like to see. I mean, you got to play the game to some extent these days in order to get the results. But he's the reason we watch this sport, because he's just a true competitor and he's still quick. And at times he just does things that you go, wow. But inevitably it always sort of seems to fail, like his decisions about staying with or leaving teams. So let's hope this Aston of 2025 is good enough 2026 that it can get him some much deserved race wins.
Yeah, look, I think he's probably, you said to him, in fact, because of course he listens to the podcast 2 weeks ago when you were on last,
stay.
Break the cycle and stay. Honda have a good baseline, of course, with all of these world championships, and they, for some reason, they've managed to mend this bridge. I'd forgotten how much sort of angst there was between McLaren and Alonso after the first time too, and he still came
GP2,
back.
So the GP2 engine. Yeah,
no, but before that, big blow-ups that happened before that, and then he mended the bridge and then came back. And what I'm trying to say is Fernando is capable, I suppose, of apologising or at least just moving on for it. It might actually work out for him, Campy. I mean, Aston Martin have all of the money in the world they want probably. They have the right direction if they can start getting it together. And put him in the car with a powerful power unit. Who knows, right?
Oh, I think it was one of the first, maybe it was the first, second year that we did this podcast. He was in that dog shit McLaren, that black one with the red McLaren livery thing with the Honda engine in it.
A couple of years before we started.
Oh, was it? And
with the black one, yeah.
And he put this thing on third on the grid behind two Mercedes. And you compared the laps. And clearly his lap was a lap from the gods. And Lewis and Nico were so far in front of everyone. Didn't matter how compromised their lines were into the corners and blah, blah. He nailed that lap so well. And that's what you want to see from these drivers. So, and he just produces year on in and year on out at the moment. And it's good to see. So.
I do love a year on in and out. Yeah, cheers. Let's talk about Mercedes. Yeah. You mentioned them. Lewis Hamilton. Well done. Lewis Hamilton. He finished second in the sprint and showed that he has talent still by qualifying in the rain in the way that he did in a car that doesn't necessarily suit the circuit in the dry, which we saw, but qualified 18th after a mistake coming out of the hairpin, having some wheel spin, and then finished ninth in the points for him, which was a fantastic result, really, probably aided by a double safety car. George Russell, a little bit in no man's land also, and I say that insofar as us just not really seeing a lot of him on the broadcast, finished eighth in the sprint, qualified eighth for the race, finished sixth. So not a bad points haul for Mercedes this weekend, Campy, but still, I mean, they are not as fast as Aston Martin.
No, they're not. And to have two other Mercedes teams, engine teams above them on the grid, they're the works Mercedes team, and not getting not a good look for the organisation. I think Lewis has probably jumped ship at the perfect time. Maybe 1 year earlier might have been a bit better. But, yeah, I think Lewis had a strong race. I suspect when Mercedes were dominating, Mercedes, the car, the way it drove and the way it handled races and the race wins was when it got out front, it was unstoppable. But as soon as it was behind the car, we saw a lot of chinks in the armour and struggled. I suspect what we saw in that sprint race still might be true today with their design philosophy, in the sense that Lewis had a lot of clear air for that whole race, and he was able to drive to a pace and a delta, which was enabled him to get the P2. No different from today if he had have had that track position and probably could have done it. But when they're bunched back behind cars that are faster or not quite as fast and they should be getting, you know, past them on track, they just struggle to do it. And I just wonder if their design philosophy is really hindering them in the following of other cars. But, yeah, look, Lewis, he'd be somewhat happy with that result this weekend, I suppose, after where he started. And as for George, well, he'd be frustrated too. He came into that team when they were world champions, and they've slowly just dropped pace. It reminds me of another guy that moved to a top team when they were world champions, Danny Rick, back in 2014. So, look, hopefully for George, he's not going to have a career like that, but he will be the number one driver at Mercedes, and unless that team picks themselves up and puts themselves firmly back on the top, I can't see it happening just the way the sport's going. And been driven since 2010, you know, Red Bull might fall off after 26 and Ferrari might be the one to step up and win for 4 or 5 years on the trot. Unfortunately for George, he's, you know, it could just be wrong place, wrong time for his career. I don't think anyone's judging him on his driving or his whether he's capable or not. It's just, yeah, right place, right time.
Let's talk about Ferrari now. A couple of things to talk about here. Carlos Sainz finished the sprint in fifth. Qualified 7th, finished in 5th in the race. Leclerc finished 4th in the sprint, qualified in 6th, finished in 4th in the race. Now, a couple of things. Here's something that I was only told by a fellow content creator,
traveler,
radio person, whatever. Apparently, Adrian Newey's been in Italy talking with someone from Ferrari. So I don't know how legit that is. Or where we are in the rumor mill, but of course we're talking about rumor mill and how Aston Martin really wanted Adrian Newey. That wasn't a rumor. Everyone wants Adrian Newey. That's not Red Bull. You'd be stupid to not. Maybe he was just having lunch, a nice little glass of wine, and maybe some beautiful food somewhere, and trying to just catch up with an old mate and not getting in there. But Ferrari, more broadly though, Campy, do seem to be on a bigger trajectory though.
Well, imagine that. Lewis Hamilton driving a Adrian Newey car. Again, that would be just incredible to see what they could do. And, we'll see what the future holds. I think if you're Red Bull and you're Newey, they will pay him whatever he wants. But it's probably not about money at this stage. I just don't think you get to the top of the sport like this and dominate the way they have over the last 4 years to change that system. Max, although they're having problems in the team, you'd be sitting back going, we are winning. We need to ride this as long as possible so that I can have more wins and more world driver championships than ever. But we'll see what happens. As for Ferrari this weekend, first time Leclerc was probably quicker than Sainz over the course of a weekend, albeit just. But, geez, Sainz is a fighter, isn't he? Yeah.
He is. Yeah.
He doesn't care about team orders and playing that game this year. He's all about himself, and I like to see
it. As he should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
as he should be. He is driving for a seat for next year, and Ferrari made their minds up with Charles, and maybe that was or wasn't the right call. We'll only know later in the years we progress and to see the results that Carlos is able to put down. But Audi apparently have offered him a huge amount of money. We spoke a little bit about this earlier. What seats are available for Carlos Sainz? Well, Red Bull Christian Horner is in absolutely no rush to confirm driver lineups. Sergio Perez is in a rush, but that's, you know, of course he would be. Carlos Sainz Sr. apparently has been talking with Red Bull. There are some rumors that the money that Christian has potentially, or Red Bull has potentially said, oh, we could pay him this, is nowhere near Audi. So it is only, you know, Red Bull have the liberty of time and the luxury of time. Everyone would want to drive for that team. Sergio is still doing a good enough job to keep the seat. If Daniel performs in the way that he We know that he can. Well, then he's an option. You've also got Liam Lawson as an option. You do also have Yuki Tsunoda as an option. There are still other options in the Red Bull fold. And at the end of the day, as long as you got Max Verstappen, realistically, when there's no one else pushing you as hard as possible from a championship point of view, from a constructor's side, then I'm not sure it really matters. But it would only be, I think, only a couple of years. Mercedes would only be a single year, but they really want Kimi Antonelli, so Toto's holding on for that. So realistically, I think we will see Carlos Sainz go to Audi and Sauber next year, Campy, and that will be a very hard pill to swallow for him, noting the performances he's been able to do in this car.
Yeah, but realistically, it's going to take that team 4 or 5 years to progress up the grid to where they want to be. And, you know, we're talking 2031, 2032 by that stage. And is Carlos the same driver by then? If he wants to win a world championship, he's got to get in that Red Bull car. And I wouldn't be making financial decisions in the position that he's in at the moment. If I can get in that Red Bull car for diddly squat amounts of money, I'd be taking the opportunity to go toe-to-toe with Max Verstappen because that's his realistic chance. And he might get in there and he might be fair like every other driver except for Danny Ric and be half a second behind them on over a lap. But you never know. So money's not everything, but...
Let's keep going. McLaren, shall we? Because Oscar Piastri seemed to have some issues with managing tyres. Then he got some damage, which was unfortunate. But he finished 7th in the sprint, 5th qualifying, finished 8th in the race. Norris sprint is 6th after starting on pole and then being shuffled out wide by Lewis Hamilton into turn 1. Qualified, though, for the race in 4th, finishing in 2nd. They came into this race, Campy, saying this is not a track that's going to suit us.
Yeah, good result for them. Well, it clearly did suit them. It clearly suited Lando anyway. So he drove well, exceptionally well. Got strategy spot on. You could not get strategy any better for Lando this weekend. So lucky them, and they were able to beat a Red Bull and have some pace in order to do it, all being at the back end of a race where everyone's managing tyres and blah, blah, blah. But Red Bull, Verstappen, Perez, clearly faster than both McLarens this weekend, but strategy came into play for Lando, and good on them. As for Oscar, geez, it was just a frustrating race this weekend. He showed a bit in the sprint. He got that gap down to about 2.5 seconds back to his teammate before the end of the sprint. I know there were some battles in front of them slowing them down, which in order to catch him up, but didn't think the time he lost was as bad as it was ended up being. I think when Lando made that pass on Alonso, he was within 3 seconds of Lando, but 4 or 5 laps later, where Alonso was holding, you know, Piastri up, he lost that, you know, another 7 or 8 seconds. And he just, you know, from there, he just fell back down the grid. Strategy got some pit stops wrong. Both Ferraris jumped him and Alonso stayed in front. And, you know, then with the damage after lap 19. So I don't think we can read too much into the fact that he was that far behind. He clearly wasn't as quick as his teammate this weekend, but it wasn't as bad as what everybody was making it out to be on the commentary. So his race was sort of over after lap 19 once everything played out and the virtual safety cars and then the 2 safety cars and then got some damage. And, you know, I mean, geez, what a job Danny Ric did to avoid that contact until someone went up his backside. So unfortunate for him. Good that he held on, beat Russell, but he'll be wanting to bounce back at some stage.
Mm.
I'll just say Lando still hasn't had a win in Formula One in a sprint race either. Danny Ric and Piastri have, so he still hasn't performed when he's really needed to.
Oh, there was so much hype on Sky. Oh, this is Lando's time. He's first, he's quality, you know, blah, 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 and then push wide by Lewis Hamilton in a much slower car.
Shut up, Scott.
It's just funny. I mean, obviously everyone's biased towards different people, but yep, you said it.
Lando got a shit start. He should have nailed that start, been well in front by turn one, but no, he stuffed it, got wheel spin, whatever it was. Wasn't the second stage of his start. It was initial reaction off the line, too much wheel spin. 20 metres down the road, Lewis is in front of him, and Lewis is in that position, is never going to let anyone pass him. I don't care how wide he ran him. He ran him wide because he wanted that spot. So, Lando, get better.
Let's finish with Red Bull. Max Verstappen, fourth, he qualified for the sprint, but ended up, once he figured out what's going on and he got his settings dialed in properly, finished first. Perez, third, second, and third for sprint qualifying in the race. Sergio, not as close this weekend. He lost that position to Lando, and Lando just held it. So, I said before, maybe he's doing enough to keep the seat, but it's probably not enough, though. I mean, Japan was great. It genuinely, on Verstappen's pace for qualifying, finishing second, that's where he should be each weekend. The marker for me was Australia, where Max was not there. He should have been there, right? Like, the second driver in the fastest car on the grid needs to be there, and he wasn't. I think he ended up finishing fifth or sixth in that race. So, I mean, Red Bull are going to be champions, and that's fine. And Max is – it was nice to see Max fight his way through from fourth, can I say, too. It just reminds us how good a driver he is.
Yeah, had some problems with engine modes, and finally his battery wouldn't charge. Finally figured it out, and then just, knocked 6 seconds off in about three laps. Jeez, he was – one stage he's lapping a second and a half faster than everybody else. This kid is – unbelievable. It's not just the car. This kid is just awesome. Mm. I think he won by 15 seconds, but after all the garbage, I mean, after lap 19, he had a 23 second lead over his teammate. So you add those together, that's, 36, 37 seconds with 11 laps lost due to safety cars and stuff. I mean, if this race had gone start to finish, dare I say it, probably would have won by a minute, and then pitted with three laps to go to, sacrifice another 25 seconds to get some softs on to get a fastest lap. This guy is unbelievable. I'm not over him winning at the moment. No. I'm enjoying it because he's just, every situation, doesn't matter what's thrown at him, he just, he's once in a generation driver, and it's great to watch.
Well, this has been a very positive team-by-team analysis. We're taking the small wins, Campy. Let's get your driver of the day.
Lewis. There's no way I can give it to Lando.
My driver of the day was Alonso, because he just powered on after those softs, and whilst didn't quite close the gap to George at the end, did a good job. Let's go through our fantasy team name competition. You can find the link to join on our website, in the show notes, on social media, wherever you want to get access to us. We're pretty much everywhere. We are also on TikTok, even though Freya says that we're not. We are. Can confirm. Found some names, I should say. And so let's go through them. The Cash. Now, it's pronounced Joe, but I imagine he wants it pronounced the Cash Zhao, Angus H. That's a succulent Chinese meal meme reference, I've just realized. Get your hand off my. And then Steen, thank you. Eat a bag of D Ricks, Simon,
yes,
T
good.
Says. Dr. DR, who's your daddy? No name reference there. And although we only have provisional points still, because it's only so soon rather after the race. I'm running in 23rd. Campy, I have no idea where you're running at the moment. But first, so far, at least provisionally for China, is Linley Team 3. Three whole teams for you, Linley. Well done. 282
well in.
Points.
Well in.
Second, Rock and Stroll, Anthony Barden, and equal second, Box of LSD Team 774 is Matthew Walker, of course, one of our brilliant admins. And I hope everyone who managed to make it along to the watch along enjoyed themselves. In Melbourne with that. And then equal fourth, a day late and a dollar short, Sam Christie. I'm just going to say that because I like that name. If you want to join, it doesn't matter where you finish points-wise. We're just in it for the best names possible. We bloody love reading them.
It does matter where you finish.
Oh, well, I'm outperforming you, Campy, so please remind me exactly how that
makes
sense.
I was four races late, so I missed it. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Never mind us trying to prepare this podcast and me reminding you about stuff and all this other shit. You can't even turn up to some episodes.
You know, I got in the top 2,000 of the world last year or something. I was like, you know, that's good
Stop
enough.
It. You did.
I did so at one stage. I was in the top 2,000.
There's no way. This is absolute bullshit. Have another whiskey, Campy. Good Lord. Goodness me. Well, coming up next, Miami. That's next week. Freya Brosman will be back in your face and your ears. If you enjoyed this episode, please, 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 please feel free to leave a comment either on YouTube. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel or you can leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or just a rating on Spotify. We bloody love doing this with all of you all across the world. Thank you for your company. Campy, thank you to you, my man.
Thank you to you, my man, too, Jim.
It's been a pleasure. This has been the Lakeside Drive F1 Podcast's review of the Chinese Grand Prix. See you next week for the Miami preview. Do you want to talk about the national anthem?
I didn't say it. Although I could read out an interpretation of the actual lyrics.
Please don't.
I'm just going to say the strongest commie vibes ever.
Sports Social Podcast Network.